A musical comedy audience, they say, is different from any other. Gayer and livelier, with a taste for colourful scenes and a preference for light romantic melodies. Tonight, the patrons at our musical comedy theatre will have all that and more, with music by Lionel Monckton, additional lyrics and music by Paul Rubens. It's a gala performance of a musical comedy as English as a tea rose. Country Girl. The rich folds of the ruby-red velvet curtains soar into the proscenium loft, and a Devonshire landscape comes alive before our eyes. Villagers and picturesque rustics take their ease on the village common. The scent of new-mown hay is in the air. It is a time for sighing and wooing, and the entrance of Nan, the vivacious village belle, whips the male population into a frenzy of admiration. Nan is as pretty as a briar rose, sweet as apple cider. But to the overtures of all her suitors, she has a ready answer. Try again, Johnny.
Johnny came from London town for a bit of fun, in a little suit of brown with a little gun. And he meant to try his odds on the girls in rural parts, wink at them and break their hearts. That is how it's done. Try it on, Johnny, try it on, do. Their village maids are the right sort for you. Letters in London said hearts are well, but they're not half so fetching as a Devonshire girl.
Try again, Johnny, try again, do. Their village maids seem a big one for you. Letters in London, you said them well, but you can't get the better of a Devonshire girl.
Sarah Jane, very fine and fond, followed her along the lane and a bit beyond. Then he tried to take a kiss, but she dodged and made him miss, and he tumbled just like this, right into the pond. Try again, Johnny, try again, do. Their village maids seem a bit cold to you. Lasses in London, you said the world, but you can't get the better of a Devonshire girl.
Try again, Johnny, try again, do. Fair village maids seem a big fool to you. Lessons in London, you said the world, but you can't get the better of a Devonshire girl.
Nan loves Geoffrey Challoner, the squire's son. But Geoffrey, who is away with the fleet, loves Marjorie. And Marjorie keeps true to Geoffrey with touching old-world fidelity. As Nan retires to the rose-covered cottage up left, Marjorie makes her entrance over a stile up right, a charming mixture of rustic simplicity and West End grooming. And with a flashing smile of acknowledgement and an even warmer glance at the expensive seats, Marjorie signals imperceptibly to the conductor, who, in turn, signals to the orchestra, and we hear her first number, evocative, nostalgic, cool.
Oh!
But here comes Geoffrey home from the high seas. The villagers, rustics, yokels, and oldest inhabitants send up a rousing cheer. And Geoffrey greets them in true sailor style and bursts into a song of the sea.
I went to sea as a bold A.B. and I thought when I got on board an admiral's berth would do for me as for Charlie Beresford. I'd heard a lot of a sailor's life and it seemed a rare good sort, for he cut up his quid with a big sheath knife and he could go ashore with a different wife when he came to a foreign port.
When he came to a foreign port.
Yo-ho, little girls, yo-ho. That's so, little girls, that's so. For it sounds all right in a sailor's song, but you find out soon that it all goes wrong. Heave ahead, my hearties, and if you want to know, I'll spin you a yarn ahead in the stern. Yo-ho, little girls, yo-ho.
Yo-ho, little girls, yo-ho. That's so, little girls, that's so. For it sounds all right in a sailor's song, but you find out soon that it all goes wrong.
Foaming waves sublime, but it's very much like a turned on grand with a head out all the time. You nod at night and your blankets warm and your sheets so snug and fair, but the sailor is out in the awful storm getting sheets of water across his form, which you wash down the cabin stair,
which you wash down the cabin stair.
Yo-ho, little girls, yo-ho. That's so, little girls, that's so. If it sounds all right in a sailor's song, but you find out soon that it all goes wrong, heave ahead, my hearties, and if you want to know, I'll spin you a yarn ahead in the stern. Yo-ho, little girls, yo-ho.
Yo-ho, little girls, yo-ho. That's so, little girls, that's so.
Geoffrey is the popular son of the late well-beloved squire. He is accompanied by two oriental potentates, the proud and fierce princess who wishes to experience English hospitality, and her magnificent escort, the Raja of Bong. But don't be deceived by the Raja's turban and tunic, for, be it greatly to his credit, he's an Englishman and proud of it.
I'm a marvelous Eastern king, so that I never do anything wrong. The Raja of Bong.
The Raja of Bong.
I am his beautiful future bride, watching with looks that are shy and sidelong. The Raja of Bong.
The Raja of Bong.
I have a wonderful force of will. Well have I reigned, and I'm going still strong. The Raja of Bong.
The Raja of Bong.
And you will possibly have to ring bells for myself and the Raja, ding dong. The Raja of Bong.
The Raja of Bong.
In me you see the Raja of Bong, renowned around in story and song, the oriental and ornamental, innately stately Raja of Bong.
Yes, we can see the Raja of Bong, renowned around in story and song, the oriental and ornamental, innately stately Raja of Bong, the Raja of Bong.
Geoffrey has a busy time of it with the two charming girls, both in love with him, and his man Barry, who provides the comedy relief, promptly pairs off with an old love of his, Sophie the dressmaker. With a great deal of high-spirited horseplay, they remind the audience that they are old, old friends. In fact, we're two little chicks together.
Two little chicks lived in a farmyard as happy as chicks can be.
She was a dorking, proudly stalking, only a bantam he.
He was a most superior bantam, and he adored her, true.
But she was proud and cried out aloud, "Now what in the world are you?"
Chick, 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 won't you marry me, chick? Be my little wife, said he.
Chick, 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 you're a very free chick. Wait a little bit, said he.
Give me one kiss, said the little he chick. What has Maury kissed her to?
Let me be chick, said the she chick. Cock-a-doodle-daddle-doodle-doo. These little chicks went up to London, off to the Smithfield show. She very gaily boasted daily, "I'll win a prize, you know." To her amazement, bold little bantam, he carried off his prize.
What carries weight, I beg to state, is plenty of blood, not size. Chuck, 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 won't you marry me, chick? Be my little wife, said he.
You're a very free chick, wait a little bit, said she.
Give me one kiss, said the little heat chick. What does Maury kiss her to?
Let me be chick, said the she chick. Cock-a-doodle-daddle-doodle-doo.
Resuming our story of the country girl, Geoffrey's love life is much more complicated than his manservant. Not only has he two English lovelies to cope with, but the imperious princess, whose attitude towards her lovers is distinctly high-handed, informs Geoffrey that she has chosen him for her mate, and to him issues this amorous ultimatum.
Wonderful boy.
the meantime, the assembled company of villagers, rustics, yokels, and oldest inhabitants, attired in their best Sunday smocks, persuade Geoffrey to stand for Parliament. There is a vacancy created by the death of his father, the old squire. And when Geoffrey finally accepts nomination, the villagers wave their hay rakes and everybody cheers. Everybody, that is, except Nan. All her life she has loved Geoffrey, and now that he has returned, she knows that his love is for Marjorie. Nan can be proud, too, and through her tears she sings, I can love, I can love.
The world was not for pain, not for remorse, but though we strive in vain, grief will run its course. For me no cloud shall come my way, the sun alone shall fill the day. A reckless, glorious game I feel to play. Then, hey, of a life of bewildering madness, all that the frenzy of pleasure can give.
While Geoffrey was away with the fleet, Marjorie had gone to London, and there, under the name of Miss Montague, won fame and fortune as an actress. But now, Geoffrey is a Member of Parliament, and when he receives an invitation to a ball at the Ministry of Fine Arts, he goes to the ball, and the inevitable happens. It is an impressive, brilliant scene. The galleryites love it, the wardrobe department dread it, and when Geoffrey is introduced to this actress person, he is struck by her resemblance to someone. A little country girl he once knew. Only a peasant, of course, but for a peasant, pleasant. And here's the rub. He still loves that little girl.
Dear little maid, I can recall her clearly. Sweet was her voice, and tender was her glance. Where has she strayed? For oh, I love her dearly. After a while, once more we'll meet perchance. Fate may bestow such joys on us together as we have known in days that used to be. Days long ago, when roaming o'er the heather, she alone was all the world to me. For I loved her then, and I love her still, and I'm hoping yet, as in days long past, come joy or sorrow, come good or ill, I may call her my own little girl at last.
I love her still,
and I'm hoping yet, as in days long past, come joy or sorrow, come good or ill, I may call her my own.
Thank you. and I love her still. And I'm hoping yet, as in days long past, come joy or sorrow, come good or ill, I may call her my own little girl at last. I love her
and
still,
loves me still,
and I'm hoping yet, as in days long past, come joy or sorrow, come good or ill, I may call.
Marjorie enjoys the situation, and when Geoffrey proposes to her, she very sensibly insists that he obtain the consent of his country girl. Lord Anchester, who loves the theatre and actresses, asks Marjorie to favour the company with a little chanson, and when she sings the little song of their childhood days, Geoffrey knows that Miss Montague is the country girl, and his at last. The masquerade is over. Love holds sway, and the excitement works up to such a pitch that the Raja takes his departure for the Valley of Bong. And peace, perfect peace.